Before long, the movement had become officially recognised by the pulpit, which denounced it. By the movies and magazines, which made it attractively naughty while pretending to denounce it. And by advertising, which obliquely encouraged it by selling everything from cigarettes to automobiles, with the implied promise that their owners would be rendered sexually irresistible. Younger brothers and sisters of the war generation, who had been playing with marbles and dolls during the battles of Belleau Wood and Chateau Thierry, and who had suffered no real disillusionment or sense of loss, now began to imitate the manners of their elders and play with the toys of vulgar rebellion. Their parents were shocked, but before long they found themselves and their friends adopting the new gaiety. By the middle of the decade, the wild party had become as commonplace a factor in American life as the flapper, the Model T, or the Dutch colonial home in Floral Heights. Meanwhile, the true intellectuals were far from flattered. What they had wanted was an America more sensitive to art and culture, less avid for material gain, and less susceptible to standardization. Instead, their ideas had been generally ignored, while their behavior had contributed to that standardization by furnishing a pattern of bohemianism and had become as conventionalized as a rotary luncheon. As a result, their dissatisfaction with their native country, already acute upon their return from the war, now became even more intolerable.